Please join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This weekend is Canadian Thanksgiving. When I lived north of the border, I had to get used to the earlier observance of the date, which early observance there, of course, made sense because the harvest season itself comes earlier there. Down here, especially if we do not live off the land in any way, we can lose track of the various seasons for different produce. In fact, the only seasonal rhythm that I get in that regard is thanks to the members of the congregation who generously share with me the fruits of their gardening labors. In today's gospel reading, we hear Jesus tell a parable that relates to people's producing or giving fruits in their seasons. And so this morning we consider the gospel reading under the theme, Fruits in Their Seasons. Now, generally, parables have one main point of comparison. And if it comes to the parable in today's gospel reading, that one main point is that just as the vineyard was taken away from the wicked tenants and let out to other tenants who would give the owner of the vineyard the fruits in their seasons, so the kingdom of heaven was taken away from the Jewish leaders and given to a people producing its fruits. That one main point has to do with the tenants' stewardship, not per se with the vineyard's productivity, which largely is taken for granted in this parable, although it's discussed elsewhere in greater detail in the Bible. Our consideration this morning might most naturally compare the tenants of the parable to pastors today. But in some sense, we all are stewards of God's resources, and we all should give fruits in their seasons. Today's Old Testament reading provides helpful background for the parable of the gospel reading. In the Old Testament reading, the Lord describes his chosen people as a vineyard on a very fertile hill, cleared of stones and planted with choice vines. In the midst of that vineyard, he built a watchtower and hewed out a wine vat. In fact, there was nothing more to do for that vineyard than the Lord had already done. But when the Lord looked for the vineyard to yield grapes, it yielded only wild grapes, inferior fruit that did not reflect the effort of the Lord. The parable of the Old Testament reading applied to the leaders and people of Israel and Judah, and the parable promised the vineyard's destruction. But the parable of the gospel reading applied to the Jewish leaders and promised the vineyards being given to a people producing or giving its fruits. Like the Old Testament reading's leaders and peoples of Israel and Judah, like the gospel readings, Jewish leaders, and Jesus' other hearers, you and I, pastor and people together, are to hear the parables of the two readings, be outraged at their hypothetical injustice, realize that these parables are actually about us, and ultimately pass judgment on ourselves. So, when it comes right down to it, what more could the Lord do for you that he has not already done? Why do we yield only inferior fruit if we yield fruit at all? Are we in danger of being destroyed or having the vineyard taken away from us for failing to give back to the Lord properly of all that he has entrusted to our care? The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther was one who found in Jesus's gospel reading interpretation of Psalm 118 a call to repentance, a call for us to fall on the stone and be broken to pieces, to be humbled in repentance, rather than to be crushed by the falling stone, that is, impenitently be destroyed now and eternally, as we otherwise deserve. Dr. Luther even points to today's epistle reading and says that Paul so fell upon the stone and was shattered. Unlike the Jewish leaders, who certainly had read Psalm 118 but did not take it to heart, we, as we prayed in the collect, repent of rejecting God's unfailing love and of all of our sin. And we trust God to grant us the fullness of his salvation through Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord. As we sang in the hymn of the day, God's deep, broad, and high love for us in sending his Son for our sake is beyond all thought and fantasy. All that the incarnate Son did, especially his death on the cross, was for us. There's nothing more to do for us than what he has already done for us. As we will sing in the third distribution hymn, by God's grace, his Son, our only Savior, came down to earth to bear our sin. It was grace and grace alone that brought him from his heavenly throne. Dr. Luther says that in the gospel reading, Jesus, who knew what the Jewish leaders were plotting to do to him, even provokes them so that they would not hold back from their plans. But the stone that the builders rejected has become the capstone. As Jesus prophesied elsewhere, he was rejected, killed, and on the third day raised. As we believe or trust in him, God forgives all our sin, whatever our sin might be. And as we will sing in the closing hymn, to this place he comes with all of his loving kindness and sheds his fullest words of blessing, gives all of his richest gifts, the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. We are no longer under the wicked tenancy of the Jewish leaders, but under the tenancy of the faithful apostles and their successors, including pastors today. With water and the word, they baptize us into the vineyard that is the kingdom of God. And so forgiveness of sins is worked in us. We are rescued from death and the devil, and we are given eternal salvation as we believe the words and promises of God. Not unlike Noah, the water of the baptismal flood leads to our being planted in the vineyard. And in that vineyard, after privately confessing to our pastors the sins that we know and feel in our hearts, our pastors individually absolve us, and that is, they validly and certainly forgive us as by God himself. So absolved, our pastor gives us bread that is Christ's body and wine that is Christ's blood. And so we are, as we will sing in the first distribution hymn, nurtured by the true vine to remain fruitful branches in his vineyard and to bear fruit abundantly. Indeed, also in our second distribution hymn, we sing of ourselves as the Lord's branches. As such, at times, we feel his knife in the form of suffering and afflictions, but we remain the objects of his care. From him we draw the juice of life, and so we supply his winery with fruit from which true joys derive. The Lord has done and still does it all. He has chosen us and appointed us that we should go and bear fruit, and that our fruit should abide. Our fruit includes giving to him proportional first fruit offerings of all that he has entrusted to our care, our time and talents, as well as our monetary treasure, so that our congregation and the church at large are sufficiently supplied not only to do some of the work, but to do all of the work that God would have us do in his name. This past week, I visited with St. Luke United Methodist Church's new pastor, who, when I dropped by, was working on what he called a special stewardship sermon. I told him that many faithful Lutheran pastors would say that regular preaching on the appointed readings would provide ample opportunity for the Holy Spirit to bring forth the fruits of good stewardship. God being willing, this sermon is an example of such preaching and will also be an example of such results. God has done all for us in Jesus Christ, especially forgiving our sins, and he brings forth from us the fruits of faith. Dr. Luther's small catechism prayer for asking a blessing before a meal quotes from Psalm 145, that the eyes of all look to the Lord, and he gives us our food at the proper time. We, in turn, give to him our fruits in their seasons. Personal service and monetary offerings, yes, but also thanks and praise, both now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.